And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, I'm excited today. It's the first full football weekend. I'm fired up. Let's get after it today. Got a lot to get to.
I thought you were about to just launch right into how the Packers are.
I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
The quest for home field advantage, which has served them so well the last couple of years in the playoffs, is underway. Off to a good start.
Yeah.
Joe, how are you?
I'm fine.
Michelle, how are you?
Listen, my energy level is a lot higher than it was when you got in here about 15 minutes ago, so I'm feeling good.
I had to bring it up.
I'm feeling good. Robbie helped me, a little screaming, and we're good.
Nice.
We're there.
Good. Did you yell at somebody about this Jared Stoneman thing that he left us?
I'm getting after you about Austin Mock, who is a written piece at The Athletic calling the Indianapolis Colts the most undervalued team. Although I will say,
is that new? Like, did he just write that?
Apparently.
Okay.
Although I will say, you know, I spent some time yelling about the Colts and the Bills yesterday.
Yeah.
Bills looked pretty good last night.
Bills might be okay. They might be all right.
I tweeted this out in the fourth quarter last night. The Bills are going 20-0.
Nice.
I've come around. I'm just kidding. But they looked pretty good last night, 31-10, the final score on the road against the reigning Super Bowl champion. That's another thing. They're not defending yet. The reigning Super Bowl champions in L.A.
Wait, what do you mean? What's the difference?
Defending is when the playoffs start.
Really?
That's a big thing for me.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like bye week, idle week for you, I feel like.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, well, if you want to come on the right side of history and go with idle or off instead of bye, then I might embrace this.
We'll see what happens. The rest
defending
of this year
is only when you start the postseason. Then you're actually defending it.
That is correct.
Okay. I'd never thought about it that way, but I don't hate it.
That's what we're going to go with here on this program.
Okay.
Josh Allen looked pretty good last night. Dominant win for the Bills. I said this before the show to you, Joe, and I'll bring it up again now. I only have two complaints last night from the Bills. Number one, they turned the ball over four times, which is kind of scary to think about how they could have won this game if they didn't turn the ball over four times. But four turnovers from the Bills last night. And secondly, somebody's got to get in Josh Allen's ear and be like, hey, dude, it's 31-10. Stop running the football. Quit.
I think that was my one tweet from the game last night. Exactly that. It was 31-10, and they did another one of these. You know, he's just barreling into four defenders and loving it. And it's like, first of all, yes, him, but also, like, if you're their OC, and I know Brian Daboll is gone, I don't even know who that is anymore. Who is their new OC?
Ken Dorsey.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Dorsey. Dude, it's week one. It's over.
Yeah.
And you're just continuing to just launch him into every defender you can find. It's crazy to me. I can't. Like, 17 games with this guy. That's the one thing. If I'm a Bills fan, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm hungover as hell today, and I have, like, table marks on my back.
But half of them were in L.A. last night.
Yeah, it did sound like they had a presence, didn't it? But, man, you got to be excited about your team, but also, please stop.
I know he's a big guy, and look, Josh Allen's not afraid of contact. I think we've seen that, but there are times when it's necessary and times when it's not. When you're up 31-10 with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, probably don't need to run it.
Tie game, fourth quarter of a playoff game? Don't slide.
Amen.
Knock somebody over. Week one? Like, you should already be on the sideline? They need to clean that up. But
those are my only two complaints.
Yeah, other than that, that's the thing. They turn over three times at the half, and I'm like, well, they're tied after turning it over three times and a half.
Yeah.
They look awfully good. You know, the defense is – that's the thing. I mean, look, that in the NFL today – I don't think we'll ever see again an 85 Bears. And by the way, the 85 Bears on Monday Night Football, Dan Marino broke their defense one night. So even that, you have bad days. The Bills' defense is going to have some bad days, like they did against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You put Von Miller on that D now with what Ed Oliver has become and Phillips and all these guys up front. Man.
Well, that's seven
safeties.
Sacks.
Yeah, and some of this is also we're going to find out as we move forward. Okay, Bills – We all think they're good. Some of us think they're really, really good. But how much diminished are the Rams? That's what I am a little worried about them too. O-line didn't look good.
Yeah.
They talked a ton last night about the missing the other receiver. They were only talking about Beckham, but also, by the way, it was Robert Woods before him. The other guy across from Kupp and, you know, Von Miller. There's a huge pickup for him, and it looks like a huge loss for him.
Well, I think last night was a combination of two things. The Buffalo Bills look really good. I don't think there's any question. The Rams have some issues to begin the season. Stafford didn't look great last night. Now, he didn't get a whole lot of help early in the game. Like, it was basically they got Cooper Kupp out there and not much else at wide receiver right now. Allen Robinson, he had one catch for 12 yards last night. I barely knew he was on the field the whole game.
I mean, that's supposed to be and has to be a big acquisition for them.
Two targets.
Yeah, what is up with
Cooper
that?
Cooper Kupp had 15. Now, I get Cooper Kupp had 15 targets, but maybe a little bit more for Allen Robinson.
Yeah, like let the defense consider that there's other people on the field. Yeah, and that's that. I mean, Kupp, he's going to have a big year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, the fantasy draft, a lot of fantasy draft. Who got Kupp? You got Kupp, Michelle?
Yes, I did. I got about 30 points last night.
Yeah, Brennan has him in another league. All those people like, nah, he's going to have a wait. I mean, look, maybe he's only like 1,500 this year, but he's going to have a big year.
Yeah.
But, Robinson's got to be a bigger part. Look, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be very good. But they, I mean, we may have just seen exactly the difference between, you know, champion and like 10-7 team or something.
Well, there's a couple things that mystify me about the Rams last night that, you know, honestly, I did not stay up to watch the post game to see if there was any clarification on because we're old and we have to wake up early and do this show. But Allen Robinson, barely a part of the offense, 2 targets, 1 catch, 12 yards last night. And then Cam Akers had 3 carries for 0 yards last night. Like, all these people drafted
didn't
Cam
start.
Akers. Yeah, didn't start. All these people drafted Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson out there, the lion's share of the work last night for the Rams.
So we're seeing the good and bad of Michelle's fantasy team. You have Akers, too.
Yeah, right? I'm ready to trade already.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, well, so Henderson starts.
Yeah.
Looks better. And they put in Akers, and I just thought, I don't know, maybe is he banged up? Has he been
banged
up? He must be, right?
I mean, he had the Achilles last year.
Right. And then it's incredible comeback from that. That was discouraging. That's probably something
that's all my Twitter feed was last night was, there's Cam Akers. What's going on out there?
Yeah, it's that was a little weird. I mean, I think they're going to be fine. Meanwhile, I'm watching that game and, you know, I'm thinking of the Titans in a couple ways. One way is, you know, it's too bad that we can't see the full Titans pass rush / defense against them in week 2, you know?
Agreed.
It's too bad. I mean, I've already gone back and forth with some of my Titans friends who are like, oh, yeah, everybody thinks we're going to get killed. I'm like, yeah, you might get killed. But, hey, we'll see. We'll see. And they also have this extra time, by the way. But then also, the Bills, 20-0 team on the way, they seem to be cool with, like, Quessenberry and Saffold and, you know.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, Saffold did leave the game for a bit last night,
yes.
Which is like, I've got a Bills friend, and I texted him, and I was like, hey, man, get used to that. That's going to happen a few times the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to be fine. Now, one thing I did learn about the Bills last night, I think it's still obvious to me that, you know, they've got Singletary, and they've got Moss, and James Cook, who I thought, you know, could be pretty good in the NFL's first carry last night. Tough one with the fumble. It's still pretty clear that Josh Allen's their best runner, even with all these running backs that they have. So, I don't know. Like, at some point, does that catch up with them? You got to have a weakness somewhere, I guess. But Josh Allen, I think, is still clearly their best runner on this team. But, yeah, it was interesting. Like, even I forgot that Daquan Jones was a part of their team. Like, yeah, another former Titan. Just keep him rolling out there.
Titans and Bills. I mean, the Titans, Bills, Falcons is like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
You know, they just – it's like they have their own little conglomerate where they keep sending players to each other. Well, Saffold, yes. I thought the same thing. Oh, boy. Week 1, and here it is. And that's – although, look, he's not here because of his number.
Correct.
You know? Now, Quessenberry is not here. His number is fine. The Quessenberry is not here because the Titans want to move on from him. Again, like, Quessenberry was basically the Titans' offensive line last year. Good run blocking, bad pass blocking. So maybe the Bills with Saffold and Quessenberry, maybe their tailback running game will get better. I agree with you. I mean, Josh Allen is still your best runner. But I think they'll get more production from actual running backs this year. And, you know, Quessenberry could help that. He also gave up, you know, per PFF. Let's remember that's PFF. But, I mean, it's not that hard to count up sacks. 11 sacks last year, the most among tackles in the NFL. So, but, hey, they seem okay.
Yeah.
They seem all right all the way around.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Von Miller is going to demolish Petit Frere. That's what I learned last night. It's coming from John on the text line. Let's watch old Nick Petit Frere play on Sunday. But, yeah, Von Miller is going to be a tough assignment out there.
I think Petit Frere is probably going to have a little bit of a step up in competition from week one to week two. So you probably want Sunday to be a nice confidence builder. And, again, I'm counting Thibodeau out, and I'm not expecting Ojulari to be out there. So that could be a good warm-up. But, yeah, then you're going to get an eyeful of Von Miller and everybody on
He's
that
ready
offensive
to go last
line.
Night.
I mean, watch Oliver and Phil. Like, they got guys up there.
I got another texter that says, how bad was Jalen Ramsey last night? The guy gambles and loses way too often. He did get torched a few times last night, but I'll take my chances with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I'd take him on my team. That TD to Diggs kind of looked like he thought there was supposed to be safety help.
There's supposed to be safety help.
Maybe he was just you know, being too aggressive in gambling. He does that sometimes, but it kind of did look like he was – the way he could have let him pass there looked to me like safety help expected.
Well, there are also a couple plays in the game where he had about as good of a coverage as you can have, and Josh Allen lets it fly, and as soon as Diggs turns around, it's back shoulder on the sideline, he's out of bounds. I mean, there's not much you can do about that.
I mean, Davis last night, Diggs.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good.
It's they're a good team. I'm just saying. They're a good team. That's going to be
– you have like a setup at your house where it's like you've got the 20 wins lined up and you just – you know, people at baseball games, they just pull the thing down and there's the K there when the pitcher gets the strikeout and you got one down at the Rex Road House for the Bills?
Or it's like the owner in Major League, you know?
Yeah.
You take off
– just rip one.
I don't know who that would be, like some Bills Mafia member.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I just think they're good.
They looked pretty good last night, no question about it. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Titans coming up next. Look at a few deep cuts on the roster, and what intrigues us the most about this matchup? What are some individuals – storylines that we're looking at coming up between the Titans and the Giants on Sunday. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Kevin Hart coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart coming up at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow, 615-737-1025. Apparently Backstreet Boys there last night. Apparently it went well. A little bit of a late arrival for the Backstreet Boys, but
yeah,
my sources tell me it went well.
You've got a source close to you.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the Backstreet Boys. Was the source close to you anywhere near Jared Stoneman in the Backstreet Boys?
I don't think so, although I will say.
She tried to avoid him.
Jared did put up a nice couple of Instagram stories where you can hear him in the background singing along to the Backstreet Boys while they're on stage. Which
song?
I Want It That Way was one of them, I think.
Okay.
And there's another one that I did not recognize.
That's funny. Like I can't distinguish like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or whatever. Like I Want It That Way. I couldn't believe that was an NSYNC song. What about
Backstreet Boys.
Well, right. Oh, yeah. Well, he just said that.
Oh, okay.
But there is one that I do know is the one where like Backstreet's back, all right, whatever that is,
yeah, because
that's got to be the Backstreet Boys, right?
Yeah, I doubt NSYNC's throwing that one out.
Yeah, there. Yeah, they were big rivals.
Big rivalry back in the day.
Jets and the Sharks.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
I'd love to go to Kevin Hart tomorrow. By the way, I would totally. That would be awesome.
Apparently, so would everybody else. Phone lines lit up pretty quickly. So
yeah, lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, no question about it. By the way, we'll have Titans guard Aaron Brewer coming up later in the show at 7:30. So looking forward to that. And I guess we could start there. We've talked so much about Petit Frere heading into this season, heading into the game, the right tackle position as a whole. I kind of feel like we've left, or not we've, but we've probably not talked a whole lot or enough about Aaron Brewer heading into this season. I mean, he is starting a full season for the first time for the Titans heading into this year, and I am very interested to see not only this game Sunday, but as they move forward here with, by the way, the interior of that Buffalo Bills defensive front looked pretty good last night.
Oh, boy.
How Aaron Brewer looks, how he holds up. You know, we talk so much about the size and lack thereof with Aaron Brewer, but Titans seem to love him, and I'm really interested to see how he plays coming up on Sunday against the Giants.
Yes. You'll be very surprised to know. What a coincidence. I just wrote a 2,300-word story about Aaron Brewer.
I saw this.
Over the whole preseason, you know, first of all, it changed so much because we thought we'd be talking about two competitions, and we weren't. We're talking about one. And one obvious huge area of interest. I mean, I think offensive linemen in general are kind of, you know, under the radar, but I think right tackle is going to be high interest, right, on Sunday, because I think Titans fans who pay close attention to this team know that protection was a huge issue last year, a huge downgrade. I got one stat from True Media. They were 30th in the league in time to throw, 2.59 seconds on average. I think first in the league was like 2.3. That's not a lot. Like, you know, that's fractions of a second, but
that adds
it kind of matches up with like going from 25 sacks allowed to 47 sacks allowed, right? All the stats say they took a plummet. So right tackle's a huge deal. But what about left guard and Aaron Brewer? First of all, great story. I mean, he actually wanted to – like this Falcons tight ends coach who was with the last staff was talking him into being a tight end. Like Aaron Brewer's athletic. He ran a 4.7. That's good. But like he's like 6'1 or 6'2, 275.
Yeah.
And he was almost like, yeah, I think tight end's my way to go. And they talked him in here to coming here like, no, you're an interior offensive lineman. And it's been pretty good for the most part. It's been one of those. I mean, that was a couple weeks after they drafted Isaiah Wilson. So there was some bad stuff that happened in terms of offensive line building then. But getting him was pretty big deal. And, yes, he is one of those things I think is really interesting. And some weeks, I mean, against the Bills, there's a bigger challenge. I mean, you still wonder, you know, how does he do against those big, powerful guys like Cam Hayward? Someone tweeted at me yesterday, like, Cam Hayward crush him. And I tweeted back, like, yeah, I mean, Cam Hayward pretty much does that to offensive guards, doesn't he? Like, does that mean Aaron Brewer's on an island because Cam Hayward – got the better of him? I mean, he goes against Jeff Simmons every day. And that's one of the most interesting things about this is watching him against Simmons and listening to Simmons talk about him. You're not getting much better look than Aaron Brewer got in the entire camp.
Nope.
So that very high interest there. Also, I mean, to me, other things on this team that are maybe we don't think about as much but I think are really important, like Tyre Tart healthy. What does that mean? Tart and Naquan Jones – you know, the nose tackle position, you know, Autry and Simmons, these are the focal points. But, you know, those guys and how they play and how disruptive they can be, they're going to need all that to be really good to sort of collectively compensate for Rashad Weaver.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm looking forward to watching that I don't know how under the radar it is around here. It's certainly under the radar throughout the league, which has been one thing that's driven me nuts this offseason. The combo of Cunningham and Long. You know, we talk so much about the front and the secondary of the Titans defense, but, you know, getting after it on Sunday when things matter out there, that combination of Cunningham, who, by the way, they're paying a lot of money to and chose to keep him around. So I don't ignore that when I view, you know, how they've used Zach Cunningham, the Titans. That combo of Cunningham and Long is really intriguing to me because if they can stay healthy, and right now, based on how that position looks, they need to stay healthy, I think they got a chance to be pretty darn good. And, you know, they're going to be crucial on Sunday. Like, you're going to have to find a way to really slow down Saquon Barkley, both in the running game and in the passing game as well. Looking forward to seeing, you know, David Long in particular there. But that combo, you know, they're starters, so you may not think under the radar when you think about those two guys. But league-wide, certainly, they're under the radar. And I'm looking forward to watching them play coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, well, and these things kind of go together if you think about it, because I mean, you could take two things. You could take any like cut and keep and say it's either this or this. But I think it's easy to kind of look at Zach Cunningham and say basically prioritize having him at inside linebacker over having Saffold at left guard.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, it's now the interesting thing there is, you know, Cunningham, the way his contract is structured, his cap number is only like just shy of $4 million this year.
Yep.
Next year it's 13.5 million. So, you know, it could be a short period of time for Zach Cunningham. I'm trying to see here what.
Well, I'd imagine you're hoping that at some point, if you're the Titans, your third round pick and Monty Rice kind of steps into a role there.
Yeah, because there's a post June 1 on him of dead money of 2.25. This is over the cap.com.
Yeah.
So this could be the. And that's the thing, too. Again, bring it back to Landry. You know, like they're like, yeah, how about Zach for a whole year with Long in there? What would that look like? Yeah, pay Landry, Simmons, Bud Dupree healthy, like the whole thing. How overpowering could that front be? And of course, now you take Landry out of it. But, you know, this may be that. It may well be. This is the year. And like you said, then it's like you have to, like, get something out of your. You know, your draft pick from a couple of years ago. Yeah, that's a – I mean, those two, I think Long is going to be a revelation possibly in the league. I don't know. Can an inside linebacker be that? I mean, it's not like it's a big stat. I mean, it gets tackles. But he's in coverage as a blitzer, as a run stopper, just as an all-around player. I think he's really good.
I think he is, too. I think he'll continue to just float under the radar. Now, people may actually know his name at some point. That'd be a nice start.
That'd be a step forward. That'd be a step forward. But those two together, certainly, in terms of a run-stopping defense, I think this could be elite. And I know that it's not as important as passing or stopping the pass, but – I mean, any defensive coach will tell you, man, if you know that you are going to put them in obvious passing situations, it makes it so much easier for you. And I think this is going to be, even without Landry, a tremendous run-stopping defense.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Look at more under-the-radar players that we're looking forward to watching coming up on Sunday against the Giants. Make sure you kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets, guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I've told you about the Titans all week. I like them -5.5 against the Giants. I like the Packers -1.5 against Minnesota on the road as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets. Win or lose with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Giants. Welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Vols as they take on Pittsburgh in a massive game coming up tomorrow as well. So looking forward to that. Joe Rexroad, you will be in attendance for that game as well.
Yes, heading out today. I'm just laughing because Michelle's that's you tweeting about me and the Von Miller haircut. The Von Miller haircut was pretty sweet.
I think you would look great with the haircut.
Yes, yes. I'll do that. If I drop 50, I'll do the haircut as a – actually, no, I won't.
That is on record.
Yeah, I just said no, I won't. I didn't even finish the sentence, okay? Sometimes I just step in it on here. I forget I have a microphone in front of me. Sorry. Anyway, yeah, looking forward to this.
You'd look great.
Yeah, no, it'd look really, really pretty. Looking forward to this game tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Getting to see a little Pirates-Cardinals today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, how about that? Was some of those Vols beat Slappies?
Yep. It's a weekend full of sports for Joe Rexroad. Looking forward to that. So we're talking Titans kind of under-the-radar players and storylines heading into this weekend and heading into this season. beginning against New York coming up on Sunday. You've thrown out Aaron Brewer, who we'll have on the show coming up at 7:30. You know, David Long, Zach Cunningham at the inside linebacker position really intrigues me heading into the season. What are some other storylines or players that are grabbing your attention that maybe we've not talked a lot about heading into this season for the Titans?
Well, how about holding on kicks?
Hey.
I mean, I know it's not sexy.
But it could be a big deal if it doesn't go well.
It could be a big deal. And just Stonehouse in general.
Yeah.
Look, the whole thing with Brett Kern is kind of wild. By the way, I'll go ahead and just because you guys know, I typically don't self-promote. Like, I'm not a big self-promoter, you know?
No.
No, not at all. I got 10 bold predictions of the Titans, and one of them is that Brett Kern will punt footballs at some point this year for the Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
Yes. I'll give you a little preview. But look, the fact that he didn't sign elsewhere, the stuff his dad said to that radio station in New York about, you know, basically the financial element of this, plus being sent home with a bunch of footballs and being told to stay ready, you know, one way or the other, and this could be a Stonehouse injury, I just have a feeling that Brett Kern is not done with the Titans. But right now, it's about what is Ryan Stonehouse? What is he, with the pressure as a rookie, having unseated a legend? I mean, that's a heady stuff, right? It's not just that, hey, you're in the NFL and you're good job, you made the team. Like, a beloved legend lost out to you, and now and you know how good he was. You know you can punt way farther than him at this point. But in a game where field position is so important, and sometimes that precision and being able to pin teams is important. I mean, look, maybe it won't matter in this game, but that's still a big thing. And speaking of it not mattering, real quick, I just want to tell you, I just went through some quick NJ.com media predictions on this game.
Okay.
So let's just rip through them. Titans 31, Giants 14, Titans 38, Giants 17, Titans 31, Giants 17, Titans 23, Giants 14. That's the closest, and Titans 27, Giants 16.
So you're saying that
there's not a lot of belief that the Giants are making this a game from those who cover them.
The folks up there are not very high on the Giants and their chances in this game.
Not very high in it, so beware. Beware, Titans and Titans fans.
I could feel like Titans fans, as the week has progressed, getting like more and more nervous about this game. Not, you know, it's a season opener, so there's a baseline of nerves there anyway, but you know, we're back into Texans-Jets level conversations last year of, man, I've seen this movie before. Don't get out there and just lay a total egg coming up on Sunday. And the weather might not be great Sunday either. Like, it could be an ugly game. We'll see. I mean, it's almost fall here in Middle Tennessee, so it could rain for 30 minutes. It could rain all game long. It could not rain at all. But
who
right
does
now,
that favor if it does? This guy should favor the Titans.
Should favor
right?
the Titans.
Should.
I mean, I'm looking at the weather app right now. It's a 68% chance of rain on Sunday. So
should favor the Titans, but what happens sometimes is what happened against the Texans last year. It actually kind of equalizes things because it's so sloppy and both teams could make a bunch of mistakes. So that's interesting. Other things that I would say, and I don't know, are corners under the radar? It's an important thing, but I think it's kind of obvious at this point that Molden, and we'll get the actual designations today, but that Molden's going to miss this game. I mean, he hasn't practiced.
I think that seems pretty clear.
So that means McCreary starts in the slot, and Farley on the outside. I mean, this may not qualify as a deep cut, as an underrated thing, but just watching those guys to me is of high interest. I mean, probably if there's one thing I'm going to watch more than anything defensively, it's just watching Farley and McCreary in particular.
Yeah.
How they hand off receivers, zone man, when they're in man, how are they doing? I mean, again, I think Farley had a good camp, some ups and some downs. There's going to be some ups and some downs this year. But through a whole game, can he be physical like we've seen? Can he be look quicker and twitchier, which I think he did. Maybe not like exactly what he was drafted to be, but and then McCreary. Is he going to have some rookie moments? He's going to have some rookie moments this year. But very excited about him. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, there's one guy that would, this time a week and a half ago, would have qualified for a little under the radar in Rashad Weaver, who no longer really qualifies as under the radar with Harold Landry out. Obviously, going to be a lot of eyes on him coming up on Sunday to see what he does. Joe, I'll tell you one thing that I am actually very intrigued by in this game. It's Kyle Phillips, and it's not Kyle Phillips in the receiving game, although I am intrigued by that. Like
blocking?
I can't wait to see all of them block. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, the clinic that he's about to put on blocking is going to be unbelievable coming up on Sunday.
Digging out safeties, man.
It's going to be – I mean, him and Woods together, can't wait for that coming up on Sunday.
That's really all you need with this offense.
But I'm racking my brain, like trying to think about the last time I was – even remotely intrigued about a punt returner for the Titans.
Yeah.
And I'm having a tough time coming up with an answer. Like, I guess Mariani, that may be it. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to – I mean, Adoree was intriguing.
And
then about halfway through the season of it, you're like, okay, so this is what they drafted him for? Okay.
He had one huge one that helped him win at Jacksonville in his rookie year, I think, right? Was it rookie year?
It was.
I think so.
And then later in his career, he became intriguing for the wrong reasons back there.
Well, 2 years later in the same stadium, it was like, oh, that guy can't do that ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out of there.
I guess he counts. But ever since then, like, it's just been back there returning punts.
Yeah, just catch it.
Kyle Phillips, I think, has a chance to be pretty good at it. Now, I don't know if he's going to be like some big – you know, touchdown threat back there returning punts, but he looked pretty good at it, pretty explosive in the preseason, and I'm interested to see if he could pop a big one on Sunday.
An easy prediction for Sunday is that at least one time he will make someone miss and look bad in the open field.
Yeah.
Now, it may be on a 4-yard punt return, but he will make the crowd go, ooh, at some point. With a move in the open field, and probably more than once. But I guarantee you that happens. You know, the only way that doesn't happen is, of course, if you're talking about booming fair catch punts every time. But if he gets a chance, the feet are elite.
I got a texter that asked about Darius Raynaud returning kicks for the Titans. Yeah, he was intriguing. He was the guy that took one step out of the end zone took a step back in the end zone and decided to take a knee and took a safety for the Titans. That was a beautiful moment in Titans folklore.
A Dan Orlovsky kind of moment, sort of, in a way.
It kind of was. I'm hearing a lot of people this week say that Kyle Phillips may be the leading receiver for the Titans on Sunday. You know, TD's been pretty high on Kyle Phillips this week. I've seen people on our text line talk about that. You know, I don't want to get expectations too high for Kyle Phillips. I know he's been very good during training camp. The leading receiver on Sunday, you buying that, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I understand, like, he has looked very good. I think in situations, Tannehill's going to be comfortable going to him, and I think he's going to make some important catches. But I think that, like, I to me, here's another prediction. I've got Hooper leading this team in receptions.
Ooh.
Which is a little bit bold. But I think it's Woods and Hooper. I think most weeks it will be one of those two guys who leads the team in receptions. I think Phillips will be key. I think right from the start he's going to be out there in situations, and Tannehill's not going to be afraid to throw to him. They did have a few mix-ups in camp, like you would expect of the rookie. One time in particular, we all saw Tannehill get after him. But for the most part, I think they've built really good chemistry, and I think he will make plays.
Like, but is he going to have, like, 7-8 catches?
I don't think so.
That seems a little high to me. I'm
keeping an open mind. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't know about how this offense is actually going to look. This week to week, I think he's going to be a part of the offense for sure. Like, I'm more confident about Kyle Phillips, you know, having, like, a consistent role right now than Treylon Burks. Now, Burks is going to be out there, but, like, Kyle Phillips, I think, like, it's like, you know, third down, like, you know, you're in 11 personnel. Kyle Phillips, I think he's going to be out there a lot. But, I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be a bunch of force-feeding Kyle Phillips the ball either.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, what – not necessarily how they use him, because I think we know how they're going to use Kyle Phillips. Like, in the middle of the field, you know, third and six, third and seven. If they're in man coverage, can he cook some guys out there like we saw him do at times – in the preseason. I'm really interested to see how that happens. I think he'll win. I think he'll win his fair share of routes out there, and he'll be a weapon for the Titans in the passing game. How much do they use him is fascinating to me. Like, it's same it, both rookies to a certain degree, like how much they get used on Sunday is interesting. Obviously, everybody's going to be paying attention to Treylon Burks and what the game plan is for him. But, you know, Kyle Phillips, how quickly can he become that slot receiver option for Tannehill that he didn't really have a year ago? Like, I already feel good about him being an upgrade over Chester Rogers last year in that role. How big of an upgrade can he be? And as he continues to get better, how big of a part of the offense does he grow into? That's pretty fascinating to me this year because, you know, I will say, everybody talks about Adam Humphries and it not working out, and it didn't because of injury. He's pretty darn good when he's healthy for the Titans.
Yeah, there was a – I mean, it, paying him – excuse me. Paying him made sense when you saw how they use him in the offense. It made sense. He made the offense better when he was in it. Yeah, it was, he just couldn't stay healthy. So I feel like this offseason was a lot about, okay, what has worked in the past? One, having that slot guy who just – if you are going to play man, like, he's going to win. Okay, boom, check. They got him, and I think it's going to be a nice pick for them. Obviously, then, two, tight end. An actual tight end who is an all-around tight end, although it was interesting hearing Chad Graff talk about Jonnu Smith's blocking struggles because he got so much better here, but they got that done with Austin Hooper, right? So they've tried to replicate some of what they used to do. And, yeah, Phillips is going to be he's going to be a key guy all year.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get a little bit more into Malik Willis and what exactly we're going to learn about him the rest of the year coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. This Saturday and Sunday, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, 2 stages, 1 weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. Buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. Once again, that's blendedfestival.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We'll have Adam Sparks coming up at 7 o'clock. Talking Vols, looking forward to that conversation with him right now. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got a texter going back to our Kyle Phillips discussion. Says Tannehill is only going to complete 12 passes. 4 of them will be to Kyle Phillips. So this texter not expecting a big day from Ryan Tannehill on Sunday. 12 passes. I mean, I guess if it's a monsoon out there, maybe he doesn't throw the ball all that much.
Yeah, like if he's like 12 for 16 or something, the Titans probably take that. Probably means Derrick Henry had about 2 bills and they blew him out like everybody who covers the Giants thinks. They will.
There are a couple ugly games at Nissan last year. The Texans game did not go overly well for Tannehill at Nissan Stadium. 4 picks in that game. They did play the Dolphins in kind of a misty, sort of rainy, 41-degree day out there. Not very pleasant, but Tannehill played pretty well that day.
Yeah.
Now, he was doing, the whole week one-arm push-ups preparing for the Dolphins. Didn't quite have that same fire against the Giants, but
every,
we'll see.
Every time he handed it, I was like, every time he passed it, the Dolphins could not contend with that.
No. You know? God, it's a shame they're not on schedule this year.
Just one of so many wonderful narratives that somehow get floated into the air.
So, Joe, we're about to enter into the point of the year in the season where I would assume, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I'm going to, for the sake of this conversation, that we're not going to talk about Malik Willis all that much. I mean, the season's about to start. Tannehill's healthy. Now, I shouldn't assume that because, like, the first time Tannehill throws a pick,
we won't.
We're going to be getting a whole lot of people like, well, you got Malik Willis back there. Might as well just let him play at some point. But we will not be talking about that. Ryan Tannehill's going to be the starting quarterback this year. So, As we kind of put a bow on the Malik Willis preseason, what did you learn about him? Where do you think he is? And if you're the Titans moving forward now into the regular season, how do you kind of judge what sort of progress he's making as the season goes along as you view your quarterback room moving forward into next year? Because I think that's really difficult.
Well, on the last thing, it's fascinating, and there's been I've kind of tried to ask a little bit about the whole process with Willis Weekly and Kaharski and other people. Titans aren't going to give us their, you know, their roadmap here. You know, they're not going to lay out. So, you know, this week we're looking for this and this, this, and we're, you know, but they have to be, this has to be a little bit different than just your average QB2 situation, doesn't it? One, another bold prediction, Malik Willis is involved in at least 3 touchdowns this year. I mean, look, if he's going to be out there, I say here and there, mix him in.
Goal line package.
There you go.
Run the veer.
You could do that. But in terms of the more important thing, yeah, the weekly, like how, or I mean, look, he's going to be still involved. I think it is good for him to be on the roster and be on the sideline with the headset and all the stuff that goes with, you know, game day and getting ready for a game and game planning for a team and a team game planning for you and all that stuff. But yeah, we're kind of going to mostly forget about him, right? I mean, let's be realistic. I understand that if Tannehill has a bad game or a couple bad games, there's going to be some calls for him. Like, we've already said this, but like, just don't get your hopes up that there would be any sort of replacement based on performance. You're going to be shocked by this. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to be shocked by. There's a story at theathletic.com about Malik Willis.
You've been busy this past week.
Well, yeah, thanks, Mitch Light. Just running me into the ground. Actually, this wasn't him. We did an Athletic, 4 writers who have rookie quarterbacks, Ritter, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, and, of course, Kenny Pickett, did a little round table. And some of these, it's funny because all my answers were basically like, yeah, guys, he's not. Like, because some of this is like, oh, yeah, it could be midseason. You know, it could be me. It's like, I don't know that he's going to be, like, competing for the job next year. I don't know that. So it was kind of like me throwing a lot of cold water on it because I still think around the league there is just this, look, Ritter, it could happen at some point this year. Pickett, probably, right? Pickett could happen.
Pickett will be starting at some point.
I mean, but like Corral and Willis, like to me, it's a totally different discussion. Corral's not playing this year. I don't know.
He's hurt right now, isn't he?
He's hurt anyway. And even if he wasn't.
No, I get Baker.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's right. Because he's going to be, yeah, he's got that Liz Frank. So, he's out anyway. So some of these questions are, you know, like the future and everything. But even if he wasn't hurt, he was not going to, once they got Baker Mayfield, touch the field. Even if Baker kind of stinks it up. And that's the same thing here. But it is interesting. Like, what is, like, how much, if let's say it's a 100-point scale, and right now he's at, I mean, I would definitely say we saw progress. I would definitely say we saw talent, right? We'd all agree with that. Like, you saw some of the tools to be able to be a quarterback. But if he's at, like, I don't know, what would he be at? 28% toward being a starter you'd feel good about winning football games with the NFL? 38%? I don't know. Somewhere in there.
It's not high.
Yeah, let's say, I mean, I think it's somewhere around there. During this season, can that creep up at all? How much?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, a lot of it, the issues that he's talked about, that Pat O'Hara's talked about, that Mike Vrabel's talked about, have to do with timing, right? Well, how much work on that are you going to get now? I mean, your practice reps are about to go down significantly because – practice is about getting your team ready to play in the game coming up now in the regular season. It's not about, you know, developing a quarterback. Now, you know, he can get some work. You know, this is where Pat O'Hara comes into play, and you're going to have to work with him a lot. But, you know, timing-wise, how much better is that going to get right now? I don't know.
Yeah, like Pat O'Hara, obviously, QB coach, priority is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill also has Todd Downing. By the way, he also has a passing game coordinator now, right? Tim Kelly. And I know Tim Kelly on the practice field works with the tight ends a lot, but still, there's another guy in the room who's been an OC in the league. So, like, does Pat O'Hara have just a little bit more to do with Malik Willis during the week than he does with Tannehill now? I don't know. And they're not going to tell us. But that's an interesting thought. And, you know, look, yeah, timing, but also just mechanics that lead to consistent accuracy. And then there's just the whole, you know, I mean, the whole, like, being able to diagnose quickly, diagnose correctly, and know where to go with the ball. Boom, boom, boom. You know, that there's still a lot of work there. But the thing is, he makes these throws sometimes that are just tremendous, and he's still missing too many that should be gimmies. So he has talked about that. Reps, 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 footwork. I mean, look, even if you're running the other team's offense in a given week, I think that you can improve.
Sure.
But it's probably just going to be incremental, and then the Titans are going to hope that the offseason is just fantastic for him.
Rick and Roll on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Malik will be the starting quarterback by week 8. Captain Choke, who I assume is Ryan Tannehill, will get in his own head and throw pick after pick, and the Boo Birds will demand his dismissal. This is from Rick and Roll on the text line.
Okay.
All righty. Captain Choke. Well, here we go. There's some people that are just out on Tannehill. Like, get out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I'm going to tell you, Rick and Roll, that's not going to happen. I don't know what Tannehill's. Look, if Tannehill completely goes into a shell and just is awful, okay. But I don't think that's going to happen. You think that's going to happen?
I do not. I think he'll play some good football. There'll be some moments where you're like, ooh, boy, it's not good.
I think this was the last Malik Willis segment we'll have for a while.
I hope. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols as they get a big one tomorrow coming up against Pittsburgh. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.